Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and good morning. I want to welcome you all to worship this morning. We're glad you're here with us this beautiful day. It has been a week of off and on rain and sun, and I suppose that makes it a normal Scottish summer. But it is still a wonderful chance that we have today, even though the high street is full of orange traffic blockers. You have braved the distance to make it here, and you will be rewarded for it with a wonderful day where we get to worship God together, to sing God's praises, and even tea and biscuits for those who stay after service. Friends, it is ever our delight to gather together to worship our God, and that's exactly what we shall do today. So let us begin our time of worship together by singing together our first hymn, number 623, Here in This Place, New Light is Streaming. Please be seated. Now, before I invite our scripture reader to come forward, I wanted to tell you I have indeed been trying to cut down some of these very long stories in the book of Acts. But for today's story, you'll need to know just a little bit of information. Specifically, there is a man named Cornelius, who is a Roman centurion who has seen a vision from an angel to send a couple of his men to go bring him this Simon Peter fellow. And that's about 10 verses that I've saved you. Let us listen now to the word of our Lord as it speaks to us in this time and place. I'd like to invite our scripture reader to come forward.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from the book of Acts, carrying on at chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 9. That's page 161 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. From verse 9 to verse 28. The next day, as they were on their way and coming near Joppa, Peter went up on the roof of the house about noon in order to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. While the food was being prepared, he had a vision. He saw heaven opened and something coming down that looked like a large sheet being lowered by its four corners to the earth. In it were all kinds of animals, reptiles and wild birds. A voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Certainly not, Lord. I've never eaten anything ritually unclean or defiled." The voice spoke to him again, "Do not consider anything unclean that God has declared clean." This happened three times, and then the thing was taken back into heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius had learnt where Simon's house was, and they were now standing in front of the gate. They called out and asked, "Is there a guest here by the name of Simon Peter?" Peter was still trying to understand what the vision meant when the Spirit said, "Listen, three men are here looking for you. So get ready and go down, and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." So Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the man you're looking for. Why have you come?" "Captain Cornelius sent us," they answered. "He's a good man who worships God and is highly respected by all the Jewish people. An angel of God told him to invite you to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Peter invited the men in and persuaded them to spend the night there. The next day he got ready and went with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along with him. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea, where Cornelius was waiting for him, together with relatives and close friends that he had invited. As Peter was about to go in, Cornelius met him, fell at his feet and bowed down before him, but Peter made him rise. "Stand up," he said, "I'm myself only a man." Peter kept on talking to Cornelius as he went into the house, where he found many people gathered. He said to them, "You yourselves know very well that a Jew is not allowed by his religion to visit or associate with Gentiles. But God has shown me that I must not consider any person ritually unclean or defiled." Amen, and may God bless to us this reading of his word. We continue worshiping God in singing hymn 252, "As a Fire Is Meant for Burning."
Please be seated. As we prepare to reflect on our scripture reading today, let us offer up a brief word of prayer. Heavenly God, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth would be your words for us this day, that your Holy Spirit would guide us this day and evermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, our scripture reading today focuses in on the story of Peter and a Roman centurion by name of Cornelius. We are told that Cornelius is a good, nice man. He gives money to the poor, and he is considered a devout follower of God despite not being Jewish. This is going to become important in our story today and in many stories to come. As you might recall, in the Jewish faith, there is a distinction between the chosen Israelite people and literally everyone else. You are either Jewish or a Gentile. You either belong or you do not. Cornelius is a Gentile who has had an angel from God visit him and as such sent soldiers to go and bring Simon Peter to his house. We're not really given much of an explanation as to why, just so that Peter can come and speak to him. But with as vague a direction as this is, Cornelius is obedient and trusts in God. He has faith that God is asking him to do this for a reason. And so he sends off his men to find this Simon Peter fellow. Meanwhile, Peter has been traveling and is praying at noon and is hungry. And so while he is waiting for lunch to be made, he falls into a trance. And he sees heaven open up before him and something like a large sheet being lowered down by its four corners. I sort of imagine it's like trying to lay out a picnic blanket where everyone grabs a corner and you pull it out onto the ground. Lo and behold, this sheet has been lowered from heaven and it contains all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. And then a voice calls out to him saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Which is complicated for Peter, because he is a devout Jewish man, and they have lots of dietary laws. No shrimp, no pork, no cheeseburgers, but you can have your burgers without cheese. And there's so many restrictions, it's hundreds of them. And so he is looking at this assortment of animals and is thinking, there are lots of animals in there that I can't eat, that are ritually unclean. And so he refuses this voice three times, and it says something cryptic to him, "Do not consider what I have made clean unclean." And so Peter is confused by this vision, at which point the men Cornelius sent have arrived downstairs. So the Holy Spirit gives Peter a nudge and says, "Go downstairs. There are these men who are looking for you. Do not hesitate and go with them, for I have sent them." Peter invites the men in for the night, and they depart the next day. And at this point in our story, I'm not convinced that either Peter or these men are sure why he is being called to go to speak with Cornelius. But they understand that they are being led by angels and the Holy Spirit. And that's good enough for them, and so they travel on to Caesarea, where Cornelius is expecting them. And not just Cornelius and his household, but his relatives and all his close friends. And when Peter arrives and sees this group assembled, the powerful Roman centurion prostrates himself, laying on the ground before him as a sign of reverence. And I think, in some ways, this is a very reasonable response. If an angel told me to invite someone into my home, they're going to get the good biscuits. I'll make the tea myself. You have to find a way to show gratitude and reverence and welcome. And this is how he does it. So Peter has seen this act of reverence. He sees this assembled people gather, and he thinks, not only is this a good opportunity to preach, but now he understands what his vision means. Do not call what I have made clean unclean. There is this division in the ancient world between what is Jewish and what is Gentile, what is clean and what is unclean. And it is clear that God is trying to communicate to Peter that no one is unclean. We are all human together. So Peter sees this happen and he says, "Stand up, stand up. I am only a man myself like you." And then he says something that you might not have considered unusual, but at the time is going to be very controversial and start lots of fights. He says, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile, which he has done twice now. He welcomed them into his home and he went to visit them. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." Then Cornelius shares his bit. Peter shares the name of Jesus. The Spirit empowers the believers, and baptisms abound. This moment is going to become a very big deal in the community and will continue to impact the rest of the book of Acts from here on out, as well as our entire Christian history. Because Peter, by his actions and words, led by the power of the Holy Spirit, has shown that Gentile believers are now welcome as a part of the family of God. Until this moment, the people who were rallying around the disciples were also Jewish. As followers of the Way, they were considered a sect of Judaism. And through this encounter with Cornelius and the Holy Spirit, Peter understands that no human is born unclean, that everyone should be welcome to understand and to believe in the faith. Do not call what I have made clean unclean. There are going to be arguments about whether or not these new Gentile followers should follow the rules of Judaism, such as dietary restrictions. And that is going to be a discussion that will not only last for a good portion of the book of Acts, but it will take up almost every letter that Paul writes, at least in some fashion. For the moment, though, this scripture is one that I think is one of the most important scriptures for us in the modern world. Because even though it might not seem like it, this scripture is one of the major foundations for our ability to even be believers of Jesus Christ. It is because of the acts of Peter and Paul that Gentiles were welcomed into the faith at all. It's because of these revelations that the modern church exists the way it does at all. We're Gentiles, but we're allowed to be believers. And at the core of it all, I think that there is a calling in our scripture today to remember that everyone is welcome. There are no unclean people. No one is impure. Everyone has the right to belong as a part of the family of God. Everyone is welcome. This is a statement that we believe, but is one that bears repeating on a regular basis. We need to inform new visitors and new members of the church that indeed we follow the words of our scriptures and that all are welcome and will be loved and cherished by our church. We need to remind ourselves that being welcoming is an active process. We have to make an effort to welcome someone into our church, to say, hi, welcome to our church, to strangers who are first in our midst. Very importantly, to not be upset when a new visitor sits in your seat. Now, I want to be clear. No one has told me yet that this is a problem. No, I have not heard someone say, you're in my seat. I haven't heard anyone make fusses about that, so you're doing great. Gold star for everyone. But it's these little things that add up. Saying welcome, not making a fuss when someone sits in your seat and being rude to our guests. Making certain that people know that they are welcome to stay for tea and biscuits after church. Making the effort to talk with people who look like they're alone. It is all these little things that we need to remember to do to make our church a welcome place. We work hard to make our homes a welcoming place, and we need to work just as hard to make certain our church is a welcoming place, because the church is our home too. So let us endeavor to make certain to welcome people who are in our midst, to be welcoming to people who have been in our midst for some time, and reward them for their bravery. Bravery to try and go somewhere new. Bravery to follow the calling of the Spirit or the voice of angels, guiding them to a new space. It was very brave of Peter to go with three strange men who report to a Roman centurion, the same kind of men who killed his Savior. It was very brave of these three men to go and find this total stranger and bring him to their home, following the guidance of God. In the same way, it takes great bravery to go to a church you've never been to before, to go walking up a large hill and open imposing doors. How much nicer is it when you're greeted by a warm and friendly smile? And when you find that there is, in fact, a welcome here. So let us work hard to continue to welcome people who have come in here in search of God, who are seeking a shelter from the outside world, who are seeking to find a community of fellow believers and a family where they might belong. Truly, I mean it when I say, all are welcome. This is the good news of our scripture reading today. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly God, it is by your grace and mercy that all have been made clean. By the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, through his death, through his resurrection, it is your love abounding that causes all to be welcome once more. Help us to be unified in the power of the Holy Spirit to share this love with those around us, making the effort to be kind and caring, to welcome, to offer warmth. We ask that you would continue to guide us by angels, by Holy Spirit, that we would follow in your footsteps even when we are uncertain, knowing that it is you who guides us and trusting that there will be goodness and mercy wherever you lead us. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Friends, it felt only right in a story where we learn that God's creation, nothing is unclean, that we sing our final hymn together, number 137, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Thank you. time of fellowship spent together, take with you this charge of benediction when you go. Friends, we have heard the good news of our scripture reading today. No one is unclean. All are welcome. It is our duty as Christians to welcome all, to share God's love with all around us. And isn't that a wonderful calling to have to live up to? And so may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide amongst all of us, always.